Succession number 23818, Real 8.
Commander Eason, Real 8. Now, the next thing is really a jump until we get to very early, 2nd of November. You start patrolling with the 4th Escort Group as a hunter-killer group in the Atlantic off the southwest coast of Ireland, and then into November they started around the northern Scotland. What do you remember of this? Could you perhaps explain how your role had changed? Because you were no longer an escort, escorting convoys. You were actually hunting submarines out. Could you talk a little about the change in role?
Yes, I think that it was a period when the U-boats, as a sort of last desperate effort to having got all equipped with a snorkel, which means they could change charge their batteries while submerged, were coming much closer inshore around the northern and southern approaches to the Irish Sea, attacking ships as they found them, usually individual ships. And according to the intelligence available at the time, the hunter-killer groups, which we were one, would operate sweeps, hoping to encounter them.
Now, I know you don't remember this time in detail. I presume that the routine hadn't for you changed an awful lot, but perhaps the first thing you might remember is on the 26th of January, the Calder sank the U-1051 off Holyhead.
Yes.
There's quite a story connected with this, and I wondered what you remembered of that incident from your perspective, probably in the plotting table or on the bridge.
I remember coming down from the north, I think you came down from the north, to the scene where the Manners had been torpedoed. Manners being another frigate of the same type. Had been hit by an acoustic torpedo, was lying disabled. Good weather, calm seas. The Manners had kept contact with the submarine by her own ASDIC for a long time, although she was stopped and disabled, and knew the submarine had withdrawn to the westward. Numerous searches were organised in the course of the day. Another escort group joined us in the meantime, which contained the Aylmer as the senior officer. We had gone off to the westward, following one possible course of action by the submarine. We got a contact which seemed very promising. The Aylmer was quite in the same vicinity. She joined us. It became fairly sure that this was a submarine. You'll appreciate the water was comparatively shallow compared with ocean conditions, and it's easy to spend a lot of time playing around with ancient wrecks and that kind of thing, or outcrop of rock on the bottom. But as we approach the submarine, or the contact, slowly, I suggested that we operated the echo sounder, which ascertains your depth by contact with the bottom of the sea, as we ran over the top of it, to see if we could see any trace of something in between. And we did. There was a quite firm echo halfway between the surface and the bottom, so we were convinced that there was a submarine there. So we went on with our attacks with renewed hope.
What had made you think of that? Was it?
Well, I think it was, you know, it was a fairly, it was, it seemed to be a promising thing to do. Although the instrument concerned was not designed for this kind of thing, there were more modern and much better ones for doing this kind of thing. It did produce the goods, and Harold Fine was up there with me at the time.
So you confirmed your contact.
Yes, and so we attacked again. We had difficulty in this fellow because he was crafty. He kept on turning at the last moment, putting the attack off. So our captain suggested to the Aylmer that at a critical moment when Calder was about to attack, he would speed up so the submarine would think that he was running in towards him to attack him and turn in the appropriate direction to put his bows towards him and reduce his astic visibility, thereby turning broadside on to us so we could go in at very slow speed and make a more precise attack with the Hedgehog, which we did, and it came off beautifully, and the projectile hit the water. After just a few seconds, there was the bang bang, and we knew it hit him. And as we withdrew, up came the submarine. We were at action station, so we were able to fire at it. But as we said before, the 3-inch gun is not. It's not a good weapon for this thing. Might have hit his conning tower, and the Bofors probably did quite a lot of damage on the conning tower uppers. Somebody was lying on the surface.
What was the U-boat doing? I mean, were they coming on deck? Could you see any damage? What was happening?
There was some damage, yes. There was damage to his conning tower. Somebody said they saw a hatch being opened, then rapidly shut again. But I wouldn't swear to that.
Could you see the U-boat? Where exactly were you at the time? Were you in the plotting thing, or did you come up to the bridge?
I couldn't resist it. I came up to the bridge by that time. And yes, the U-boat was lying stopped on a calm sea, a matter of hundreds of yards away. Nobody came out, in fact.
So, as far as you were concerned, you didn't see a hatch open? You didn't see any human beings or anything?
No, I didn't.
Was the U-boat moving?
No, she was stopped.
Would you have said she could have successfully gone down again? In other words, was the damage bad enough to preclude her submerging?
Well, one supposes that she had to surface in a hurry. It must have been something very serious. So I doubt very much whether she could have gone down again.
So you were opening fire with a 3-inch, as far as you could see, ineffectually. Yes. The Bofors, perhaps with a bit more effect.
Yes.
What happened next?
We never saw any of the crew at any time. The Aylmer, who was quite close, certainly within a half a mile, said something to the effect of "Keep clear, I'm going to ram her," which we were slightly surprised. And that's what he did. Steamed in towards the U-boat, And as he hit, you could see his bow rear up out of the water, and then down again, and after a very short time, the submarine disappeared completely.
Whereabouts on the submarine did he strike?
Well, right about the middle, I think, yes.
What yes. did you think of that? Because I know the captain, actually we must talk about Commander Plane, but because he'd White had gone by then, but what was your reaction when you saw this happening? Did you see it was as a legitimate action for the airman to take, or an unnecessary?
I think we were a little bit cross pleased with the outcome, destroyed a submarine, not pleased that it had also very badly damaged one of our ships, put her out of action for the rest of the war. His motive was he thought the submarine was not dead and might well have been able to take the opportunity to fire a torpedo at us, and it was he couldn't afford to take while he had it in his hands to sink him. So,
did you have any opinion about the fate of the men inside? Because, I mean, presumably they could have surrendered. But.
Yes, they could, yes. That's another thing. If no offensive action by the U-boat had been possible or contemplated, one would have liked to have seen them come up and surrender. Might have been able to board it and get valuable information off it. But it was a decision that had to be taken. As a young sub-lieutenant, it was certainly not me to question the other senior officer.
So you were critical, but not sharply critical. I mean, you felt no real resentment about it.
No, that's about right. Yes, yes, yes.
Now, was there any particular? Do you recall the signal that plane made? Because he made a signal, quite a sarcastic signal, considering yes. the helmsman's commander was senior to him. Do you remember the signal?
I do remember one was sent. I can't remember the wording of it. There was a signal made, yes. It's written down somewhere in Plane's report, I think, or Huckle's report.
Well, let's talk. We haven't mentioned Plane before because White had to go.
Yes, very early.
He'd been ill during the KMF convoys. What about Plane? What did you think of Plane?
Splendid chap. Architect. Very, very tall indeed. Every inch a gentleman. Every inch a gentleman. A very, very, very good captain. Yep.
What was he like as a person? You know, I mean, was he friendly in the mess?
Yes, yes, yes.
So after that, you weren't there for the sinking of the U-774 on the 8th of April. What had happened?
I left. I was appointed to another ship. Very soon after that, the destroyer Onslaught.
Why had you left the ship?
Well, they're constantly changing one around for the sake of one's career, largely. Easton's been in the Calder quite long enough. He better go perhaps the Onslaught wanted a lieutenant, and who knows how the minds of these people in the Admiralty work. But anyhow, I left Calder and straight up to join the Onslaught.
Now, when was this? Would that be February, March, or?
I think it was. Must have been very soon after we got back to Belfast. After this, I think it was probably
February then.
February to March, yes.
And Where did you join the onslaught?
I can't remember.
And what were your first impressions of the onslaught? What type of ship was she?
She was a typical what was called emergency class destroyer, that the staple destroyer being built for the fleet in those days. General impression. Quite different feel to everything. Everything was stronger and heavier. The officers were predominantly regular RN, whereas in the Calder, once Jimmy Davidson had gone, I was the only RN officer besides Chief E. Leach.
What sort of a difference did that make to the feel of the wardroom?
Many more of the traditional sort of, oh dear, so difficult to describe it in a hurry.
Not in a hurry.
Much stronger characters, sort of, in a way, harder living, harder playing, harder drinking. Very professional. No more effective than the Calder and her lot, but I think what you would expect of the tradition of a professional naval officers.
Which did you prefer yourself?
The Calder, I think.
you preferred the reserve officers? Well, you know, the temperate, the wartime.
Well, I think I was very, very fond of the Calder. And I was never one to excel at heartiness. I think one could the professional destroyer officer is to the Navy, I think, rather like the cavalry officer is to the Army. That puts it fairly closely, I think.
Now, what was the onslaught doing? What was its role?
By that time, the war was practically over, wasn't it?
If you joined in February, March.
Yes.
Did you have leave in between?
Yes. And the flotilla of destroyers, which he was one of eight destroyers.
Do you know the number of the flotilla? Not to worry.
No. Had seemed to have been largely dispersed. We were no longer going around as a flotilla. We were doing individual jobs much more. And one of the first jobs we did was to go up to northern Russia and escort the tow of a destroyer called the Cassandra, which had been torpedoed off Pagliano, right up in the north, being towed back by I forgot what ship, another ship. We were escorting the tow.
Anything happened on the voyage?
The tow was quite satisfactory and normal. Got her back safely.
What was the weather like?
It must have been reasonable. I don't recall any panics. This makes me think it's getting on well into the... We must have been getting on into the summer by this time, because they wouldn't have towed her down if it had been wintry weather.
But it was before the end of the war.
It might have happened at the same time, even just about the end of the war in Europe. We met the Russians a bit. We had one party ashore. An old British battleship, the old Royal Sovereign, was there, having been turned over to the Russians, and we had a party ashore with them. That was okay.
What was it like? You remember the party?
Quite all right. No problems. Enough of them spoke English to make sense of it all.
Now, what do you remember of the VE Day and the end of the war and your reactions to it?
I can't remember where I was at the time.
What were your reactions? They
just mixed in with everybody else's. Nothing very special. I think that it was lovely being able to steam around with navigation lights on for the first time. Lovely finding all the shore lights on for the first time. And lovely being able to go ashore, go on even plain clothes for the first time. All quite normal little things. But life still centred on the life of one's own ship. Still quite a lot going on.
Anything else you remember that you were doing with the onslaught?
We did have the very interesting job called Operation Deadlight, which was to do with the disposal of the German U-boats that had surrendered. Of course, there were hundreds of them. And
what exactly happened?
They were concentrated in two or three ports, one of which was Stranraer, where dozens of them were all tied up with their crews on board. We were one of a couple of destroyers who had to escort the tow as they were towed out to deep water by mainly by Admiralty tugs. The crews had been taken off, connected up the tow. They were towed out, and there were little convoys of these of, I suppose, something like 10 or so, 6 or 10 U-boats, all being towed out to beyond the 100-fathom line northwest of Ireland. Took several days, quite a lot of bad weather. Some sank in transit. But having got them out there and let loose the tow, they were quite difficult to sink. Even with destroyers' guns, because the pressure hull of a submarine, being very low and rounded, not an easy target to sink with guns. Very difficult indeed. And the most effective way of sinking was from the air. RAF, I think Mosquitoes with rockets, by far the most successful.
So that was one thing you were doing. Were you in any way worried about being sent to the Far East? Because that war was still going on until August.
No, it wouldn't have occurred to me to worry about it. No, it never. If one was sent, it wouldn't have worried me.
What else were you doing during this period aboard the onslaught?
We did some visits to Germany. We might have been the first destroyer to be the harbour guard ship at Kiel, to be the naval presence at Kiel. Went through the Kiel Canal. Alongside a jetty at Kiel, and we were the floating naval presence there. There was a British admiral ashore. No German warships in active service to be seen. Just the normal activity of harbour launches and that kind of thing. A lot of British Army. And there, I think we did sort of a fortnight there and came back and somebody else arrived and took over. There was always one British ship there.
Did you get ashore? What was it like?
Yes. Knocked about, not the word. Pretty nasty. Germans not at all inclined to cooperate. We were quite strict with them. If they didn't do their stuff as ordered, in the way of harbour routines, carrying stores and ferrying people around about, we may certainly knew all about it and punished them. We were fairly beastly to them. They didn't like us very much.
In what way? What would you do? What sanctions did you have against them?
Shout at them. Make them do it again. Terrible. Didn't shoot any of them.
It doesn't sound terribly beastly.
No, they were well disciplined, of course, and they were, if they did something wrong, they were corrected. I remember being anchored there, a German E-boat came steaming by with all its crew on board, and as they passed us, where they should have stood to attention and sort of saluted, according to ordinary naval custom, they were laughing and joking. Well, when they got to the far end, they were met by a signal from me, because I was your officer of the day at the time, saying to repair on board HMS Onslaught forthwith. And along came a very ashamed German lieutenant, had to tear him off a strip, told him to get his piece of U-boat and come round and steam past properly, which he did. That kind of silliness.
You mentioned that the crew were involved in the black market. What did you know of that? How aware were you of the black market?
I think that a bar of soap or a packet of or a carton of cigarettes, I'm told, will get you anything. That was the main thing, soap and cigarettes.
Did the crew engage in it much?
A little bit. The army used to have to sometimes lend us a lorry with a driver to go off visiting certain places. There was a favourite place to visit was Flensburg. Over the border from Flensburg, where the Copenhagen china was on sale. And I know I bought some china, terribly cheap. Still got it, haven't I?
Mm-hmm. But nothing terribly serious.
No. There's no, absolutely not. The Germans weren't going to try anything silly. We used to use their yachts for sailing. They had wonderful facilities at Flensburg. Lovely yacht club with loads and loads of beautiful sailing boats where we could just simply book through the British naval authorities and then get transport out of the army, probably go and have an afternoon sailing, find the boat ready rigged for you, the German sailor standing by at the jetty. Pretty luxurious, really.